This is the story of a ragtag bunch of church members who set out to perform a Christmas play, and the director who tried his hardest to just keep it all together. The glory of Christmas.
I am the longest running cast member of the Nativity Ensemble of our church. Well, I don't like to mention it, but I am a formerly trained prodigy of the theater arts.
Having Dan as part of our cast is fantastic.
Lord, I am surely blessed beyond measure.
Okay, good. Let's do it again, but this time with more emotion, okay? Hey, I want you to Meryl Streep this up, okay?
You got it.
Dan thinks he's helping, but all he does is compare everything to Meryl Streep.
Tony needs you to channel your inner Meryl.
My dear Mary,
stop. It is... Just, I need to Meryl this over for a minute. Oh, this is no way to treat your actors. Meryl would have seen this and walked immediately.
Really, Dan? Because this potato salad looks so Meryl right now.
Suddenly, the most splendiferous heavenly being appeared to my cohorts and me.
Stick to the script, please.
Okay, Joel, it's called The Glory of Christmas. I think the shepherds deserve a little more poetic language, don't you think?
It's the Bible, Dan. God may beg to differ with you.
By day, I make a living as an accountant, but a dedicated one. But a dedicated actor must lose themselves and fully become the character.
Do you have any questions for me at all?
What's that smell?
Green pastures. Green pastures, Annette. I am so method. I haven't bathed in a month.
You really need to take a bath.
I can't. These shepherds were society's misfits. You know, they were... Sure, transfixed by a choir of angels, but also amazed that God had chosen them. They were the scrawny kid MPE. The nerd who went alone to the prom. Yeah, they were the glee club president twice. Yeah. They were the least of these. God asked me to be the keeper of the most important message that's ever been kept. To tell everyone that he sent the greatest gift ever, the Prince of Peace. The lowest in the land is given the highest honor.
What's that smell?
You know, it seems like every week I get more people volunteering for next year's Christmas production, and this is what you're in for. They're crazy. But this weekend, you know, if you go back years from now and think about this weekend will probably be known as a weekend where there's good news that will save lives and perhaps end a pandemic. You know this. This week, the president held a press conference with Project Warp Speed, announced good news for all people that should bring great joy. There's a viable vaccine. And he, of course, isn't the only person to take credit for this. There's lots of press conferences. Our governor held a bunch about logistics and cold storage locations. And really, folks seem to be excited about a possible end to this disruption. But the big question that lots of people are asking when there's a big announcement like this is pretty simple. I mean, there's the obvious one. Is it real? Do we really need saving from this thing? But just important, most people ask, who is this good news for? I mean, isn't it great that technology has developed to prevent COVID, hopefully, but who benefits from this good news? And lots of people are asking, when can I get this? When will we be saved from COVID is what people ask for. Or at least, when will life go back to normal? And to be clear, this is not one of those medical announcements. I don't know that much about an awful lot. I study the Bible a lot, but I'm not a vaccine expert or a disease person. I was thinking about this, and I'm actually embarrassed to say I got to check some things, but I'm actually starting to get nervous that I need to get a tetanus shot now, but I'm not really on top of things like that. But what I am saying is I'm not sure about that, but I am positive about how people react to good news. Do you know who normally gets to hear extraordinarily good news first? Well, not me, right? I'm not that special. And I don't really know how news gets out, but probably you and I, we're probably not going to benefit from this good news anytime in the really near future. In fact, here's how I guess it goes down. When the doctors and scientists came up with the best and greatest and latest cures for COVID, you and I don't get it. I'll bet somebody really important gets it. Like, I don't know. I'll bet if the president happens to get COVID, I'll bet he gets the best technology available to cure him. I would imagine they would transport him and his entire medical staff in a helicopter to the best hospitals they could find and give him the latest, greatest technology that's not accessible for most people because he's important. If I get sick, probably if most of you get sick, the doctor would probably just say, you know, try chicken noodle soup or something, right? That's just how it normally works, right? I hate to break it to you, but normally, good news that saves people isn't for everyone at once. That's just how it is. In fact, normally, you may get announcements on the front page of newspaper. You'll get the leading headlines like we do this weekend. There's press conferences, chest thumping. There is great news that's for really elite people. Good news for the rich and powerful is how it normally works. And eventually, it may affect either normal people, but normally we're the last person to hear the real story, and often the last to benefit. And that's okay. I'm not really complaining about what's normal. That's just how kind of it's always been. Extraordinary, good, beneficial news usually first benefits the rich and the powerful, or the really vulnerable, perhaps in this case. That's how it normally is, except in one case, which is why the Christmas story is so extraordinary. Because the announcements of good news is anything but ordinary. And this is one of the really big points in the Christmas story. The Gospel of Luke tells the Christmas story this way, and it's not normal. In fact, think about this announcement compared to any other grand press conference of salvation. Now, we're just going to tell the Christmas story. I love Christmas. We're going to tell the story here. This is Luke chapter 2. Here's how Luke tells the story. While they were there, verse 6, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. You have heard this story before, right? The Son of God was born. He's in a manger, in a feeding trough, not in a castle. Not in a mansion, not in a great house. But when the news gets out, do you know who finds out in the story of Luke? Well, not who you'd normally expect. You probably know this already, right? The next verse says, and there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. Think about what's going on here. It's hard to imagine anything more special or spectacular than angels. Like, these are messengers from heaven. This would put, I'm not exaggerating, this would put all the pageantry and chest thumping and graphics of any press conference you can imagine to shame. This is an extraordinary announcement. Like, and the announcement is of even bigger news. And just so you know, in the ancient Near East, it's hard to imagine anything more ordinary than shepherds in fields, right? So think about the tension here. You've got angels, they're extraordinary, and you've got shepherds, super ordinary. Shepherds aren't that special, just so you know. You may not run into a shepherd, but if you're anywhere in Israel near a manger where animals are fed, odds are there's going to be animals nearby. And animals don't just wander around by themselves. If there's sheep in fields, you've got to have somebody watching them, and those people are called shepherds. It's not weird to find shepherds near the birth of Jesus. It'd be way weirder to not have shepherds. It'd be like if you're at someone's house, like if you visit the Sutter house, and you were to see a dog bowl and a thing of dog food and a dog leash and a dog crate, guess what lives in the house? You guys are so smart. I love it. You're absolutely right. Like, it's not that weird to have dog stuff and a dog. If you have a manger, you're going to have sheep. If you have sheep, you've got a shepherd. It's just whatever's there. It's super normal. It'd be like finding a construction worker on a construction site or finding a teacher in a school. It'd be as natural as finding, I don't know, a bad football player in the city of Philadelphia. It's not interesting. It's exactly what you'd expect to find. The angels, they don't go that far to find someone to talk to. They don't travel to the kings or castles. They don't find they're rich or powerful. They don't call a big press conference and get on TV. They don't find the social media influencers. They give this grand, shining with glory message to, like, it looks like literally the first people they find, the closest people to a manger. And this is one of those easy to miss details, but I think God is making a really big point in the Christmas story that we're not supposed to miss. The fact is, these angelic messengers bring good news that save people from something much worse than any virus. And they give this world-changing, life-saving message to, they just tell the first people they run into, the closest people to a manger. And this, like, this is a night shift of people who are watching sheep. Like, these aren't even the most important shepherds here watching the sheep. They're, you know, people speculate, but they're probably not used to talking to people. They're definitely not good with public speaking. And you just imagine, they're like, what? Why aren't you telling someone who is more influential? So the angel tells him, you know the story, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. By the way, you catch that there? Who is the message from the angels for? You see what it says here? You'd think the kings, the rich, the poor. It says great news to who? All the people, right? And here's the good news. Today in the town of Bethlehem, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord, and this will be a sign to you. You'll find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger, and suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests. You've heard this story before, right? After calming the shepherd's fears, the angel announces exactly what God's doing. By the way, there's some themes in the Bible that, you know, God just seems to come back to over and over again. And one of those themes is that God is always doing something that you can't see. Which, by the way, is exactly what's happening on Christmas, right? And that's what I believe is happening in 2020 as well. We all experience what Mary, Joseph, and the shepherds struggled with. All of them had no idea of what was going on. All they knew is that everything they planned wasn't working out, and they didn't know why. All they knew was who was sovereign. All they knew is who they could trust. And the story of the Bible is of people who have every reason to be afraid but trust God, which is why you could look it up. Do not be afraid is the most common command you'll find from God in or on the pages of the Bible. Let's keep telling the story. So next verse, when the angels had left the shepherds and gone to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, well, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord told us about. So they hurried off and they found Mary and the Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. In other words, they go tell everybody, and the story says, all who heard it from the shepherds were amazed at what the shepherds said, but Mary treasured all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they heard and had seen, which is just as they had been told. Now, clearly, this is a very familiar story, and there's a lot of things in these details that God wants to tell us. But the question I start asking today is about press releases, about salvation. The question I have is about this life-changing, year-modifying announcement here. The question is, why tell the shepherds first? Why not talk to someone who's better at public speaking or has an audience? Why not talk to a king or an influencer? I mean, God could have sent angels to anyone. God could have sent shepherds to everybody. Why go to these shepherds near the manger on their night shift? And I don't know. I don't know how to answer the question. It's not what I would have picked. But I think God has something for us to learn here. I don't know the answer to that because I don't know why shepherds are important. I look at them, I see their role in the story, and I go, why would you ever pick them? But what this story tells us is that God doesn't look at people the way I do. God doesn't overlook people that are easy to overlook. The Christmas story teaches us that greatness isn't measured in how many people follow you. It's not measured by how many people you influence or how many resources you have. Status isn't a thing for God. God recognizes people as people. The thing I can't explain, this strategy that God picks shepherds to give the announcement to, it doesn't say anything about shepherds. It tells you something about God, that God values people that you may not. And that's what Christmas is about, right? God shows up, the greatness of God is, well, sitting in a manger, having his diapers changed. Christmas is about God being with people. And I don't want to skip over this too quickly. If that's true, you should just sit where you are in awe of who God is. Like God loves you for who you are. If things are working out great, if things are working out terribly, if you think a lot of yourself, you think very little of yourself, you know, God doesn't even look at that stuff. God may have every reason to skip over us and find someone better, but God just loves us for who we are. And you could, honestly, if that really sinks in who you are because of who loves you, like you could just marinate on that for a lifetime. And it would change how you think about yourself in good ways. It'd change how you think about God, but it also change how you treat other people. If God does that, it means we should treat ordinary people the way God treats ordinary us. This is a theme in the Bible. James puts it this way. Think about what the Bible says here. This is James chapter 2, verse 1. Think about what God says here. My brothers and sisters, believers in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ, must not show favoritism. Then he sets up a scenario. Imagine someone comes into our meeting with a gold ring and fine clothes, and then a poor man with old clothes also comes up. If you show special attention to the man with fine clothes and say, here's a great seat for you, and then you tell the poor man, hey, you sit over there or sit on the floor by my feet, have you not discriminated among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my dear brothers and sisters, has not God chosen those who are weak, poor in the eyes of the Lord to be rich in faith and to inherit the kingdom he promised to those who love him? In other words, normally, good news, good things, there's a level of discrimination. It goes to good people. But when God loves people, when God gives good gifts, he does it indiscriminately. This is one of the details of the Christmas stories we miss out on sometimes. It's good news of great joy. See the verse behind me? To who? All people, right? God doesn't leave people out. The angels don't fly over the shepherds on their way to find important people. For God, all people are important people. Theologically, it's because people are created in the image of God. And with the shepherds out in the field, got to be first to hear this grand announcement. And they did exactly what God told them to do. You can read the next couple verses. They went everywhere they could and gave the good news to all the people. Who should have great joy from Christmas? All the people. That's the intention, right? And that's communicated in a bunch of different ways in the New Testament. I'm just going to read some verses here. This is 1 Timothy. I'll read verse 1 of chapter 2. I urge them, first of all, that petitions and prayers and intercession and thanksgiving be made for who? All people. Pray for kings and those in authority that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants who? All people to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. For there's one God and one mediator between God and mankind, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all people. This has now been witnessed at the proper time. Or take a verse like 2 Peter 3:9. This is a hard one, right? The Lord is not slow in keeping his promises, as some understand slowness. People like me who get impatient. Instead, Peter says, God is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Or take John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned. Whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. You know, I'll be honest, these are words that we don't emphasize often in Reformed churches. This whole everyone, all people, the language of inclusivity. And the truth is, there's good reasons for that. God has other things to say about the question of who is saved, and it's a little bit more complicated, because you may know Jesus talks about the wide gates and the narrow gates, the point being, not everybody, not even most people follow Christ. Paul talks about God loving and not loving. Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. And you go, wait, God hates people? Huh? And clearly there's a lot of nuance to this, and Reformed theologians, I think rightly, talk about the nuances as God wants all kinds of people to be saved. And this is great news for all sorts of people. Calvin might add some words in there. Maybe there's something more to be said about not discriminating, and maybe we ought to think more about how holy God is and how humans aren't. And all of that's true and admittedly stands in tension to some of the parts that I put in bold in the verses I just read. It's, God is complicated. What he says is complicated. But part of really believing that God is sovereign is admitting who's not in charge. Like, God may be the one that gives the gift of faith. God may be the one who gives sight to blinded hearts. And if that's true, do you know who has no idea of what's going on in the people around us? Me, right? And you don't either. In other words, you don't really know where God is working. So you know what God commands us, regardless of what God's doing? Well, give the good news to everybody. Show God's love to everybody. And maybe God will move in people's hearts. Maybe he won't. All you get to do is obey God and give the good news to everybody. And you may know this from experience. Sometimes the last person you will ever expect becomes the most incredible instrument of change. God giving the message of salvation to everybody means that you should too. You should not discriminate when it comes to giving God's message of love to other people. In fact, there may be people who you tend to ignore or overlook when it comes to giving good news about God. There are probably people you can't even think of because you take them for granted. There may be people who you're like, they've already heard about religion, they've already rejected stuff, so I'm just going to fly right over them. Or maybe there's people who just seem so dysfunctional that you can't even bring it up. You can't picture a world where they follow Jesus. Or there's some people who are so well off that you can't imagine them ever wanting to change. But do you know what the angel says? Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for who? All the people, right? And here's what I'm convinced that God is saying to us today. If you're anything like the shepherds, at least in the respect that you've heard the message of God from the gospel. Joy, peace, love. If you know Jesus, it also means that you're like the shepherds in the respect that you've got a mission to share this glorious announcement with all the people. Which means you shouldn't overlook people. Don't fly over people, right? Everyone is deserving and needs to hear the good news of message of Jesus in ways that are understandable and clear. And, I was thinking about this. I don't know that this has ever been more important to think about right now. Like right now, we're in a season where maybe more people than ever are looking for something to hope in. More people are looking for peace. There are more people that you know that are trying to make sense of the chaos and craziness of the world and looking for something to trust in. And you know where to find it. You've heard the message. You know that the peace that we have comes from God, and it only comes from the one who embodies it, wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger. Jesus is an answer for the world today. And what Jesus did through his perfect life, his death, and his resurrection is exactly what still gives people peace today with God, who pays the price for the sins of those who trust in him. You know what God's telling you today, I believe? I think God's telling you the same thing that he told the shepherds on that day. Do not be afraid. You may have lots of reasons to be afraid, but do not be afraid, because God brings good news that will cause great joy for all the people. And that good news is Jesus. So Father in heaven, I pray that you would remind us in the middle of uncertain times, in the middle of fear and worry and joylessness and restlessness, Father, can you remind us of the good news that you gave us in the birth of Christ? And I pray that you would help us to be more like you, who doesn't discriminate, who loves all of us, because you love us, right? Not because of who we are or what we've done. But Father, can you remind us of that and give us joy from that and help us to treat other people the same way you treat us? May we give people good news that they are deep down longing for, and may they, like us, get great hope and joy in times when we need it the most. Father, pray that we would reflect the glory of your Son. I ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.